Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. As you know, my name is Rick Leaf. I'm a host of Entertaining Ideas, the author of Four Homeless Millionaires, and this is the final chapter 46 in the book, in the audiobook. Shall we begin? We've made it. Digging deep down the homeless stretch. We're back at the Peg, where our story began in all its nose-plowing glory. Winnipeg is situated at the geographic center of North America and has certainly been at the center of our story as a family for a decade. This is where Zion said his first words, which incidentally were not mama or dada, but an impishly insolent see ya as he waved goodbye to his doting parents. It was here on a dark and stormy night as the wind made leaves spin on limbs of giant elm trees bent low in the pose of downward-facing dog that Riel was born on a shower curtain spread out on our living room floor. Winnipeg is where Zara painted her first painting and became a tattoo artist, where I started Tribe of One, wrote most of my songs, and recorded all of my CDs. In spite of all these great memories and magic moments, we feel like it is time to move on. Out of all the possible places we could go, we have decided to move to Vancouver Island and try our luck at being sea people. But first, we want to say goodbye to Winnipeg, leaf style. We drop Riel off at Kayla's place, where they fall into the energetic activities of 9-year-old besties. After leaving Riel, we drive around the corner and don't even come to a full stop before Zion is bounded out of the van and is through his best friend's door. Little bugger didn't even bother to say, see ya. It is a week of lasts, the last time we pack snacks and walk to our favorite park, the last blast on bike trails winding along the Red River, the last time I'll dance my ass off in Old Market Square's Moses Maze, local maestros of danceable funk fusion slap groove-heavy beats off the cobblestone streets and turn the Exchange District into a giant house party. Things we've done thousands of times before suddenly feel like a rite of passage, bringing a sense of closure to the circle of life. After a week of goodbyes, the day finally comes to load up the van and for that one last drive. By the time we get to Vancouver, it's the long weekend, and the ferries to the island are typically full, so we have reserved a spot on the last sailing of the day. We check in early and spend an hour wandering along the shops and piers in Horseshoe Bay. In one last accident-prone cluster mug, I managed to fall headlong into an angry mob of rose bushes with razor-sharp thorns that pierce my flesh and pride. My inadvertent tumbling routine deposits me unceremoniously on the pavement in front of my family. As I stand up, Zara sighs, unsurprised as ever. Oh my God, babe, you're bleeding. The Pacific was as black as the night, and the clouds kept the stars hidden from view. The four of us gathered at the front of the ferry as we sailed through the darkness, waiting to see some glimpse of lights from the island, where we hoped to find a light to call our own. For our little family, this has been the year of the snail, as we've quasi-motored our way around the globe like four homeless millionaires, investing in dreams and memories that will last a lifetime. Along the way, we became badass carpe diem connoisseurs, embracing the palette of possibilities and perfecting the art of making nowhere special. We became masterful at creating and consuming the finest moments every day, and in the process discovered how to live deep and travel light. We sold everything we had and spent our life savings on the adventure of a lifetime. No regrets. Once we get off the ferry, we start following the directions that Paul has given us. As we pass through Duncan, Zion starts to giggle in the back seat. Hey, Riel, I just saw a sign that said Dinkwater. Ew, why would someone call a street D-word water? She responds. It was drink water, Zara clarifies from the front seat. Are we almost there? Zion responds a couple of seconds later, because I gotta let loose some Dinkwater. I can tell this catchphrase is going to be around for a while. Just up ahead, you're going to be turning left on Coxzilla Road, Zara says. Are you serious? I'm going to be living off a road called Coxzilla? I exclaim as Zion giggles in the back seat. Yeah, but no pressure, she replies. They're really into penises around here, aren't they? Zion laughs. Gross, Riel replies reflexively. As we drive down the long driveway to our new house, new roommates, a new chapter, the clock hits midnight, August 1st. I put the van in park and turn the motor off. No one opens the door. For a long moment, it's dead quiet. Well, guys, I guess we better see what our new life looks like. 13 and 14-year-old Mac and Logan are noisily jumping on the trampoline in the pitch black, exchanging flying ninja kicks. In a New York minute, Zion is exchanging welcoming blows with his peeps. Through the open window on the second floor, we can hear an acoustic guitar. 17-year-old Jared plays through U2's Stuck in a Moment. As we come through the front door, we see 16-year-old Kezia curled up on the couch with Quigley, the resident pug, who immediately jumps up and races to the door to noisily greet us. Riel and Quigley quickly fall into a firm embrace. We wander through the house, now home to 6 teens and 4 adults. It's strange to find our old stuff piled up in the corners of our new life. Paul and Corey open a bottle of wine they'd bought for the moment called Glimmer of Hope. We raise our glasses in a toast to a world of infinite possibilities as I read the label, which says, "The ship sank." Her answer was a firm no. Your financial advisor skipped town with everything, including her. Whether it be rough seas, infernal heartache, or an unbearable streak of miserable luck, what eventually, dependably, and yet inexplicably gets us through the roughest of life's rough spots is a glimmer of hope. Hours later, we headed downstairs where the kids were asleep on a mattress in the front room. They dragged their travel pillows and blankets in from the van and made a nest for themselves in the middle of the chaos, just like they'd done all year. Zara and I stood for a moment, taking in the peaceful serenity of their sleeping faces amid the clutter and confusion that comes from a creative life. We looked at each other, at the same time started laughing. Well, this is going to be an adventure. Thanks so much for listening.